Google Android 9 Pi, in PC Magazine on August 6th, by Max Eddy. Pros: new gesture controls, navigation, distinctively Google visual style, smart notification and volume control improvements, auto rotation tweaks. Cons: screen addiction controls and other major features not included at launch. Design flourishes only seen occasionally. Bottom line: the latest update to Android 9.0 Pi brings visual tweaks and smart quality of life improvements that really work, but key new features like screen addiction controls aren't included at launch. The time of a new Android operating system is now upon us, with the venerable Android 8, aka Oreo, setting in the West, and the sparkling new Android 9, aka Pi, rising in the East. This latest iteration of the world's most popular mobile operating system tackles screen addiction and reimagines how we interact with Android with new gestures. It also refreshes the look and feel of Android to be more Google-like, with the final version of Android Pi just now being released, trickling out to Android devices. This preview represents time spent with developer previews of the OS. We'll update this to a rated review once we have a chance to try out the final version of the operating system. A peek behind the curtain. The full name of Android 9.0 was revealed on August 6. Ignoring persimmon and popsicle and going with the gooey and delicious Pi. Keep that in mind. Depending on your device, you may not receive Android Pi on its release or at all. Google's Pixel devices are the first in line, and a handful of partners lined up for the early rollout. It's sobering to see Google's own statistics on OS adoption, which reflect the fact that, despite enormous strides with the operating system, getting the upgrade to users is still a challenge. As of May of 2018, only 5.7% of Android users were on the latest version of the OS, Oreo. As mentioned above, the story is based on the last developer preview to come out before the official release of Android Pi. The experience was very close to the final release, and using the developer preview afforded me the time to experiment and live with the new OS. Not all features were live in the preview, however, including digital well-being features, Google's name for its screen addiction tools. In fact, the digital well-being features aren't even launching until the fall. Slices, a feature that embeds app capabilities into Google search results, also won't be available until the fall. I also couldn't test new battery life, brightness control, and app actions features, all of which are AI-powered tools that adapt the OS based on your usage. I'll be updating this preview soon with my impressions of the final product. If you can't wait until then, take a look at the features I'm most excited about. Apples and Androids. Reviewing operating systems can sometimes feel like trying to write a review about the sky or the ocean. They are so large, encompassing so many features, that even trying to sum them up is a daunting experience. In the case of mobile operating systems, it's even stranger, since consumers don't really have a choice. You either buy an iPhone with iOS or another phone with Android. You can't run iOS on a Samsung phone. While it's easy to say that Apple is the closed and pretty one and Android is the open one, that's also enormously reductive. Both Google and Apple are designing for human users and, as such, use a lot of the same tools and tactics in their mobile operating systems. In fact, if you read the comments of any review of either OS, you'll find fans pointing out the extent to which each copies from the other. Still, I find it useful to compare the two occasionally, since they highlight different approaches to the same issues. The look of Android. For years, I felt like little thought was given to the actual look of the Android OS. I presumed this was because Google felt like it was making the foundation that OEMs and others would build upon. That seemed to change with the last round of Nexus devices, which felt decidedly more unique and more consumer-focused. The Pixel devices and the Pixel launcher cemented this idea. There's now a unique look to Android. The latest twist in this tale of aesthetics is that Google is pushing out a unified look to more and more of its properties, including Android. The bigger, more rounded look spotted on Gmail and Google Drive is seeping into Android. The notifications pull-down pane has distinct white cards with rounded corners that feel much more substantial than the previous design. There's also a setting for a light or dark theme in Android now, which recolors these cards as either black or white. You can also opt for Android to choose which theme to use based on your background image. Some of these new design elements are best seen in the Settings app. The larger search fields and suggestions at the top of the app are far more inviting, and the bolder icon colors more eye-catching. It feels much cleaner and more like a cohesive statement. A final thought on aesthetics: Google seems to be consciously shifting attention away from Android and toward Google itself. Case in point, when I reboot my Pixel, it doesn't say Android in bright letters anymore. It says Google with the words powered by Android in smaller letters at the bottom. Using Android is now, really, the experience of using Google on your phone. Screen addiction ending soon. This year has seen mounting concern about screen addiction, the social and health consequences that come from staring at screens all day. At Google I/O, this topic received a lot of time. The company even offered an antidote to fear of missing out, FOMO, with the joy of missing out, JOMO. To that end, Google announced that a series of powerful new digital well-being tools were coming to Android to give users more insight into how they use their phones and hopefully curb their usage. These are the biggest and most dramatic features of Android Pie, and they were, unfortunately, missing from the developer previews I tried. As mentioned earlier, they'll be released this fall. The idea of Google trying to get customers to use their phones less might, at first, seem laughable or even disingenuous. After all, the company presumably wants people, as many people, using their apps and services and making Google money as often as possible. But there has been mounting concern that consumers might be fatigued by the modern smartphone experience. Android 7, for example, included fine-grained notification controls because, as a Googler said on stage at that year's I/O, it's better for a customer to mute a few notifications than to uninstall an entire app. At the center of Google's efforts is the Android dashboard. When launched, this will show you how often you're using your apps, among other statistics. A new shush option will work like Do Not Disturb for notifications, so you can focus or simply check out from disruptions for a little while. An app timer feature will let you set limits on specific apps, which is also a powerful tool for parents who look to police their children's app usage. One feature I'm particularly excited for is Wind Down. Set a time range for when you want to use your phone less, and your device will fade to black and white during that interval. It's a powerful visual cue, reminding you to take a break. It also guts the strongest and most alluring part of smartphones, the lush colors and dopamine squirt-inducing visual. Apple has already shown off its answer to screen addiction in the beta version of iOS 12. It's hard to compare the two since Google didn't include its tools in the developer preview, but they're clearly using similar features to achieve similar goals. These tools are a bit more striking on iPhone, if only because there has been no way to get this kind of control over the device before. Whereas Android has enjoyed a wide variety of parental control solutions for years. That said, I think the wind-down feature is far more useful than Apple's approach, which simply grays out the apps during the periods you select. The top of the screen. App notifications and the Android menu bar are likely the main ways people engage with their devices. Notifications show us what's happening and give us the opportunity to take actions. The menu bar has critical device information like battery level and the current time. Android Pie carefully tweaks both of these areas, giving consumers a quality of life boost. Although it's a very small change, Android Pie moves the current time from the far right corner of the screen to the far left. I actually like this move since it helps tidy up the top of the phone. But it's mostly there because of the notch phone fad that we're all suffering through. And yes, Android Pie absolutely supports notch devices, but only up to a point. With Android Pie, notifications will support media, like the images sent as attachments. You'll also be able to see the avatar of the person messaging you, which makes the notification experience far more complete. Similarly, Android Pie has AI-generated canned responses like those seen in Gmail. They're particularly handy for sending quick, rote responses. Google has also said that Android Pie will have better support for group chat functions. All of these improvements really bend toward seeing more in notification and having more options available to respond to notifications. That leads directly to the improvement I'm most excited about, drafts. I am a verbose person by nature and rarely fire back a short response to a text. I'm the kind of person who tries to type out the entire text of Beowulf in that one-line text field. I am a monster. That means I am also the kind of person who screams in agony when I accidentally tap out the notification and lose everything I just typed. Thankfully, Android Pie will include a draft function that will automatically save what you wrote in the notification reply field as a draft. Huzzah! While I'm interested to see the changes coming to notifications in Pie, I am not convinced the full potential of these changes will actually be realized. The major push in the previous version of Android was reworking notifications to give the user more control over what they see and when. The introduction of notification channels, intended to let consumers toggle off some kinds of notifications from individual apps, was a radical change, but one that, in my experience, hasn't been widely embraced by developers. I hope that, with the arrival of Pi, more developers will take advantage of these tools to make notifications less of a nuisance. Highly appropriate gestures. The three buttons at the bottom of every Android device haven't changed much in recent memory. Sometimes they have different symbols, sometimes they are physical instead of just displayed on the glass, but they're almost as iconic as Apple's single home button designed for the iPhone. And just as Apple did away with the home button on the iPhone X, Android Pie puts a whole new twist on its navigation scheme. Now, there's just one button and a whole lot of gestures. In the version of the developer preview I tested, gestures were an option buried in the settings menu. Otherwise, my Pixel XL defaulted to the same three icons at the bottom of the screen. How it will ship on the final version isn't clear to me, although it's worth noting that Google took time to highlight the new interface during the I/O developer conference, suggesting it's an important new feature. Instead of three icons, you now have a single lozenge-shaped button in the center bottom of the screen. Tap it and swipe up all the way, and it will display the full apps tray. This is everything you've got installed on your device. It's not far off from how the Pixel Launcher displays apps now. Tap the center button from anywhere in any app, and you'll be taken back to the home screen. So far, so simple. In the past, the far right button, sometimes shown as a square or menu icon, opened a view that displayed all the apps currently running on your device. You could flick them away to close the app or jump quickly from one app to another. In the more recent versions of Android, this view also lets you run apps side by side in a split screen view. The gestures in Android Pie, most of these functions are shifted over to the home button. To open the app tray with the center button, you need to keep your finger on the screen pretty much all the way to the top. It's not a flick action, but flicking or dragging just partway up the screen does open a new task manager view, typically handled by the far right button. In this view, cards show each app currently running. The icons on top match the icon for each app, and the rest of the card shows what's currently happening in the app. I am surprised that in at least some cases, you can copy and paste from these app previews, but it's not clear how much action can be taken from this view. The bottom of the screen shows a smaller app tray, showing a set of apps that seem to be derived from how I use my phone. Android Oreo has a similar feature already in the full app tray view that displays frequently used apps. You can scroll left and right through the app cards and toss the cards away to shut down the app. Dragging an app to the top of the screen will start a split screen session, so not much has really changed. One new trick is when you tap the center button and drag to the left, this opens a fast app switching screen. It's a simplified version of the app manager view, minus the app tray at the bottom. Without lifting your thumb, you slide left and right through the apps currently running on your phone. Release your thumb, and whatever app is in the center position will move into focus. It's much faster than opening the old app manager of the half swipe up gesture, but I really struggled with this one in testing. It's just too fast. I'd either let go when I didn't intend to or swipe all the way to the end of the list and lose it. Google could tweak this particular gesture, but in using it, I was reminded of how I learned to drive a stick shift or, more recently, used the gestures available with the Apple Magic trackpad. It's all muscle memory, and I feel like I could master this new gesture in time. Explaining this big change to the average consumer and getting them to use it without frustrating themselves, however, could be a much bigger issue. The left-hand button traditionally moved you back one screen and doubled as the back button on some browsers, too. It would be hard to imagine that OS without it, which is why it still pops up from time to time. Every now and then, while using the gesture button, a tiny triangle appeared in the lower left, which you can tap and move back. This downgrade makes sense since the home button will always take you back to the home screen. You just don't need it in sight all the time. My expectations of the Android Pie gestures were way out of line with what I experienced in the developer preview version of the OS. From what I read online and saw on stage at I.O., I had imagined a totally new way to interact with my phone. It's not that. It's a smart redesign with a few rough edges to work out. I'm curious to see how it performs in the long term. But honestly, I wouldn't mind if Google went even further, overhauling the navigation in Android. The OS is nearing a decade in use, and smartphones are ubiquitous enough that companies can stand to be a little more experimental than they were in 2008. Going long. Two tweaks in Android Pie would take advantage of your screen's horizontal space in new and interesting ways. New screen rotation controls and the improved volume bar. Screen rotation was one of those moments with the iPhone when the OS smoothly moved between landscape and portrait views depending on how you held the device. It's an essential feature that's on every kind of modern smartphones. But it's also deeply annoying. How many of us have been laying in bed or reading our phones only to have the screen spin around to an inconvenient angle when we make the slightest move? Too many, that's how many. Sure, you can toggle screen rotation off in the settings or in the menu available in the notification tray, but who has time to do that? In Android Pie, rotating your phone when an app is open won't automatically rotate the app. Instead, a little icon, shaped like a phone on mine, but I've seen other variants, appears in the bottom right corner. Tap it, and the screen will rotate to match your phone's position. Otherwise, it stays right where it's at. I saw this feature working beautifully in the Android Chrome browser, but it's unclear to me if it's going to be a universal option or app-specific. Regardless, it's a quality of life tweak that I really appreciate. Upgrades to the volume slider in Android Pie also fall into the quality of life department. Now, pressing the volume rocker switch on your phone will tick the volume up and down as before. But in Android Pie, the volume menu pops in from the right of your screen and runs down the horizontal axis of your phone. The animation, position, and shape of the volume menu are the same as the shutdown restart menu that appears when you press and hold the power key. Moving the volume menu out of the notification area and mimicking the power menu makes so much sense. It's a visual cue you're taking actions that you're interacting with the operating system and puts the menus closer to the actual position of the buttons. It's smart all around. The smartest part, however, is that the volume buttons control media volume by default. If you want to mute your ringer, you tap a button at the top of the volume menu. The logic is simple. Most of the time, people want their ringers either on or off and want to have fine-grained control over their music and media volume. This is miles better than the weird context-specific menu in Oreo, which had the media or ringer controls visible depending on what was happening when you press the volume control. The new option is elegant and bested only, perhaps, by a physical mute button on your phone, in the background and under the hood. As with all operating system updates, there's a lot going on with Pi that might not be immediately obvious to the user. Here's a quick rundown of the highlights as taken from the developer documentation. In the realm of security, Google has changed the conversation about Android in a big way. Rather than talk about putting out fires, Google wants to challenge ideas of what a phone can be safely used for. It's a statement of confidence, and one that's quite refreshing. For Android Pie, users can look forward to improved encryption for the device and device backups, the latter of which will now require a PIN or pattern code to unlock. Android Pie also brings improvements to the autofill framework, which lets apps fill information directly into the apps and websites if you use a password manager, which you should. The autofill framework is a game changer. It takes the pain out of entering passwords. Promises to make that experience even more seamless. Fingerprint readers and other biometrics are now common across smartphones. Android Pie simplifies the experience by having one system-level prompt for users to place their finger or thumb on the sensor. This assures the user that it's a legit request for their biometric information. Google continues to tighten what apps running in the background can do in Android Pie. In addition to the restrictions we saw in previous versions, Pie restricts apps from receiving sensor information when they're in the background. Most of all, background apps can no longer access the microphone or camera. In my opinion, this is a long time coming, but a much welcome improvement. Android Pie also expands the support for dual camera devices, that is, smartphones with two cameras facing in the same direction. Features like bokeh, seamless zoom, and stereo vision will now be possible. Blueberry, apple, cherry, pumpkin, and plum. My time with the Android Pie developer preview was as surprising as it was satisfying. I'm very impressed with the new gestures, and the tweaks that need to be made seem obvious and easy. I'm also very intrigued by the changes to the look and feel of Android going forward, as it becomes more bound to the Google visual experience. That said, I am left wanting as neither the developer preview nor the release version of Pi include Google's tools to address screen addiction. It's sure to be the biggest change to Android, an already powerful and mature operating system we're likely to see for some time. The final version of Android 9.0, aka Pi, is making its way to phones as you read this. Perhaps it's already there, waiting for you to take a slice. We at PC Mag, however, will have to wait to make our final judgment about the latest Android confection.